your joy. Not in some happy, happy, save for a Sunday morning kind of way, but something that stays with you. Something that even surprises you at times. Real moments. Not that you're there all the time, but you're growing into it. You're being pulled there, carried there by something stronger, someone. And you know it, and it happens. It happens even in spite of your worst self sometimes. Case in point, last Sunday, I was on Ladder Road. I was heading to visit one of our members in the hospital, Ken, and the light is green, and I'm moving with traffic, you know, anxious to be turning from Ladder Road onto Roxborough Road, and this lady pulls out from the parking lot and cuts right in front of me, and then the light turns and she stops right there in the left lane or the right lane, ready to make a left turn, and I'm stuck. And I did what any nice Christian pastor would do. I blasted her with my horn. She earned it. And my wife is shaking her head, but she knows me. Okay, I shouldn't have done it. I know it. I know it. And if I had thought of Jesus sitting right there with me in the moment, if Jesus had been my joy in that moment, I wouldn't have done it. I would have done what I saw a couple in Arkansas do recently. I was out there for a prodigals conference, and there was this guy that pulls up behind them. The weather's bad. They're merging onto the freeway, and they're being careful. They didn't do anything wrong. This guy pulls up behind them. They're not going fast enough for his taste, and he just, and what they said in that moment was, and it was just from the heart, God bless you. And it wasn't that, you know, bless your heart kind of thing. It wasn't that. It was, God bless you. But I mention this to you because in that moment, I wasn't fixing my eyes on Jesus. I was fixing my eyes right there, making that right turn, right? I mean, that's where we live, right? But in that moment, Jesus wasn't my joy, and I would submit to you that those moments need to change in my heart and in my life. There needs to be more Jesus. And as a result, more joy. But that's the challenge. To live there more and more. That's what the writer to the Hebrews is talking about here. This is a part of a passage that is all about perseverance. It's all about going the distance. And the point is, the more we look to Jesus, the farther we will go. And what we need to do is to learn to keep our hearts and minds in His presence, calling on His name, welcoming Him into our moments more and more. That's why that we talked about last week in terms of just calling on His name is so important. Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Now, that word pioneer in the original language is actually very closely related to our word for architect. That's why you see it translated differently. Sometimes the older NIV, for example, has author and perfecter of our faith. The newer one has pioneer and perfecter. But the real word is actually architect in that sense of the one who designed it, the one who knows how to make it work. And that means that there isn't a situation that He cannot help us with. Out of the deep, unfathomable love through which He endured the cross, all of the shame and degradation of it. And that expression, He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, that's the second part of it. It means that he ascended into authority. That is complete authority. That's what that right hand language is about. And that means that he is Lord over the most intimate detail of our lives. He's able to be there for us, with us, no matter what we may go through, to work within us, to win us for himself. And the more we look to him, the stronger we will be. And that brings us back to that word, joy. We know the verse in Nehemiah, maybe. We say it sometimes. The joy of the Lord is my strength. But what is joy? I mean, you know, it's kind of a word that in some ways, I mean, it's kind of out there on the outer fringes, right? You think of, there's a German candy, Kinder Joy, right? you think of Christmas, you think of, you know, we don't use the word joy perhaps as much. I mean, you might say something is a joy to me, but, you know, it's a little bit, it's just almost a little, it's sort of like that salad fork. You know what I mean? We use it for special occasions, and certain people use it maybe more than others. And when they do, are you Episcopalian or what? You know, I mean, it's just kind of nothing against Episcopalians. <I'm> just, but how about it? I mean, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. I mean, that sense of joy is this deep, pervasive, all-consuming leap of love from the inside out. And the stunning thing about this is that you and I are a part of that, part of the joy that is set before him. It was his joy to love and obey the Father, carrying out his will to rescue us. We're all mixed up in that. And so Jesus has told us, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Do you see some of the links here between obedience and joy? If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The truth is that obedience becomes this freeing thing. I mean, that's what it's intended. It's this joyful Julie Andrews on a mountaintop, hills are alive kind of thing. And I know that's kind of a salad fork illustration, but you know. I had a pastor years ago that I worked with who loved to do this illustration. I've used it a few times before, but where you, you know, go ahead, just entertain me with this, if you would. Just clench your fists for a moment. And could you kind of just tighten your arms, your biceps, tighten your biceps up. Now, sort of clench your teeth a little bit. You good? Now, do it hard. And now say with me, joy. Joy. I mean, isn't that the picture of the church today sometimes? Right? And that's why people run to other things and other places. When Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. I mean, when that lady pulled in front of me and stopped, I should have laughed. It's like, you know, I do that kind of stuff. But no. Burn! You and I are loved by this great love that takes joy even in us. And will fill us more and more with joy as we live in him and through him. And it takes time for this to sink in. More Jesus, more joy. If you know him, if you let him, he will lead you there. In the love that only he can give, love so deeply personal, that he would go to the cross to take away our every sin and then come back. Back to life and one day back for us. The world needs to see that joy. G.K. Chesterton said, joy is the gigantic secret of the Christian. A secret that's too well kept sometimes. Years ago, I was preaching at a community event, and I was called up early, and it was this, you know, everyone from all over the city. And, I'm looking at my notes right before I go up, and I was called to go up a little earlier. The one guy that was supposed to go couldn't make it. And so they pointed to me, and I'm looking at my notes, just can I do this, do I got it? And the pastor turning right beside me turns to me and he says, if you ain't got it now, you ain't got it. Do you have it? Better put him. Do you have him? Better put, does he have you? More Jesus. More joy. For us to have more of him, he has to have more of us. May we pray. Lord, you know us and you love us. Such an amazing way. And Lord, we ask your forgiveness. I ask your forgiveness when those moments where I'm just, my head is elsewhere. And yet, in my heart, you are at work pulling me closer. Lord, help us in our heart of hearts to be all yours. This morning, maybe as we're talking about these things, you think, I've been too far away. Or maybe you can say, you know, I've never come to him. I've never given my life over to him to say, yes, yes, I want you. I want your way, your joy, your leading, your spirit. I feel it. I want it. And if you ask him, if you come to him and say, I believe you died on the cross for me because somehow you love me, you really love me, and I want to know that love, I want to know that joy of being loved in you, nothing matters more, it's not just words. I want a relationship with you. I ask you to forgive me and help me. Help me sort everything out from there. But Lord, I come to you right now. I want to be yours. And where I don't want to be, you know, help me there. But oh Lord, save me, I pray. Maybe you're just uptight, you've known him, you've received him, but you've been reminded today, yeah. How beautiful it is that he never gives up on us. And he will carry to completion the work that he began. So we can come to him and simply say, yes, Lord, more of you. Our beautiful Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. The wonderful thing about Jesus, the wonderful thing about our God, is that he makes himself so real to us. He took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat." And he picked up the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant, the new agreement in my blood that is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. All of you, drink of it." Being a Christian is not easy. It's not a matter of just saying a few words and, "Hey, I'm good with God." It's about God meeting us and loving us, meeting us at our worst, and setting us free, truly free in his love. The very opposite of that uptight thing that we did. And Jesus' body was broken for us that it could be that way. His blood was shed for us. The ultimate. You know? Somebody who takes a hit for you like that loves you. And so as we come to this table, we want to come in a real way. You know, it can't be that kind of thing where, you know, "I've been thinking about doing this thing, and I know that's not right after I leave church, and I'm still going to do it." No, can't be that way. Instead, it's got to be, "Lord, help me. I don't want to go there. I want to be yours. Forgive me. Cleanse me." And so we come to this table confessing our sins. We share an open communion. You don't have to be a member of peace. Just a believer in Jesus, relying on him, looking to him, crying out to him for salvation and strength. And so we invite any who would come that way, come. Because he meets us here. He meets us to give us strength to live. Would our elders come up at this point? Either come up or be available at the side for prayer. This is not just something we do, you know. This is, "Lord, more of you. More of you." Let's pray again. "Lord, set these elements apart," we pray. "Oh, that we may live in your joy now and even forever." In Jesus' name, please come as the Lord leads.